Hi everyone. So it's my pleasure to welcome Ajaya Kotra today. Ajaya is a research analyst at the Open Philanthropy Project. She's working on cause prioritization and long-term future cause areas. Previously, she was president of Effective Altruism Berkeley, where she taught seminars on topics related to EA. As per the usual talks, you can submit questions throughout at london.eaglobal.org/polls. So please join me in welcoming Ajaya.
Hello, everyone. So I'm going to be talking to you about some of the practical challenges of implementing theoretical cause prioritization at Open Phil. So first, a little bit of background on the budget allocation project. So far, Open Phil's grant making hasn't been very constrained by money. But we'll soon ramp up to a much higher giving rate, so it becomes much more important to set budgets for particular program areas, because as we hit sort of peak giving, we want to have a good sense of how much we want to allocate to different cause areas, taking into account uncertainty about morality, worldviews, and also a bunch of empirical uncertainty. So there's a wide range of beliefs and intuitions about moral and epistemic questions within Open Phil, and we tend to call, like, clusters of different, like, moral and epistemic beliefs that point toward particular ways of doing good, like sort of more broadly worldviews. So budget allocation is going to be determined by a combination of a compromise between different worldviews and empirical research on returns to investment in different program areas. So I've been working on pieces of this question for the last few months, working with Nick Beckstead and Holden on some of these questions. So in this talk, I'm just going to go through first the theoretical moral uncertainty framework that you see in philosophy and why it's kind of awkward and difficult to fit some psychologically realistic types of moral confusion or moral disagreement into the framework, and some things we've tried for how to do that. So why a procedure called variance normalization is like one theoretically satisfying solution to moral uncertainty. I think I might have oversold it in this slide here. I think there's more uncertainty around whether it's theoretically satisfying than I presented it. But there is like a solution that I sort of want to try to implement in practice and why it can be difficult to do that. And why empirical work is necessary even after a normative uncertainty step to go from a budget allocation to different ways of doing good or metrics for what good is. Translating that into a budget allocation into particular program areas is a lot of additional empirical work. I think there's like a lot more to be done in that area. So the first thing is the basic framework of normative uncertainty that you would see if you read sort of philosophical papers about this. So the theoretical setup is that you have a finite enumerated list of moral theories, and you start with the assumption that one of those theories is true, and you're uncertain which one. And a moral theory is, like, in this context, a mapping from, like, a world with an agent in it and a choice that an agent makes at a particular time to a score for that choice. So, like, that's what you should be sort of thinking about. It's sort of like a utility function, but a little bit more general than a utility function. So you're uncertain between a finite list of moral theories. So maybe you're uncertain between total utilitarianism that says the best thing to do is what maximizes the sum of happiness minus suffering in the world, and Epicureanism, which says that, people who don't exist now don't matter, and it's not good to, like, it's not a moral good to create happiness, and death is not bad because a person can't continue to suffer or have preferences after they die. So there are these two theories. Assume both of them have an ability to sort of map any, like, world and choice made in that world to some number. So you're uncertain between them, you assign some probabilities, there's some procedure, you choose like a procedure or combination of procedures from the literature, and you come up with like a compromise moral decision rule for how to act under uncertainty. So that's the theoretical setup. I think that there are ways in which this is kind of unrealistic, and it's kind of unnatural to try and like hook up realistic intuitions to this setup. So when I introspect on like things that make me uncomfortable about morality or like questions I have, it doesn't generally feel like I can name a finite list of formal theories, and I believe one of them is correct, and I'm uncertain which one it is. More often, it feels like a combination of the following three things. I care about a lot of different types of value, and I think like a very complicated compromise that might not obey certain rules of rationality even, maybe that is actually more true than any pure view. So like maybe the resulting compromise is something that is closer to what I consider the truth of what I value. And I don't believe that one of the end theories is actually correct. Or maybe there's a theory that seems plausible and satisfying to me that I've iterated on, but in certain circumstances, some of its implications I'm really uncomfortable with and don't feel like going all the way on, right? Or I want to apply different types of moral reasoning in different domains. So like maybe in day-to-day life and personal interactions, I want to act more like deontological or more Kantian or something, and maybe in my job at OpenPhil, like doing grant making, like within that scope, I want to act utilitarian, subject to some constraints. So like these are all types of uncertainty that we could fit into the framework, but it's sort of challenging to think about how, and there's like this translation problem. So a more like realistic sort of view of moral uncertainty might be something like, instead of uncertainty between total utilitarianism and Epicureanism, we might have uncertainty between total utilitarianism and a general sense that like we should be advancing science, and like science is an important area that we should be putting some money into. And I sort of feel like I might, in some domains and in some ways, trust this heuristic that advancing science is good over the explicitly worked out implications of total utilitarianism, or it's plausible I might. And I might even have a lot more confidence in these heuristics than I do in my moral theories, like in this example. So if we want to do a compromise between these two things and sort of make use of the moral uncertainty framework, we have an issue of like how we translate advancing science as good into something that can participate in this process. So possible hacks we thought of. We could do the procedure, sorry about the slides, I swear they looked better on my computer. We could do the procedure with a set of hybrid theories, like really complicated compromise theories as the participants in the normative uncertainty procedure, instead of more like classical or more pure theories. That's sort of the easiest hack. So maybe one of the theories you're uncertain between is a combination of total utilitarianism and certain types of deontological constraints or something. Well, the challenge there is there are way more possible hybrid theories you could construct than pure theories. And it's sort of arbitrary to like pick out a few at random from that space. So maybe we want to be trying to define the whole space in some way and like have people choose where they lie on certain spectrums and certain dimensions. Another challenge is maybe people want to sort of, maybe people are attracted to hybrid theories because they're already the product of some sort of implicit moral uncertainty reasoning that the person is doing inside their head. And if we include hybrid theories as options in the framework, maybe we would be double counting once we then do the moral uncertainty procedure. Another possibility that we considered was to include heuristic views, which basically, rather than being complete utility functions that have some rule that maps like all actions and all choice situations to a score. Maybe just like focus narrowly on the problem of assigning budgets to each of the cause areas we're considering between, and have them sort of directly assign promisingness points to the cause areas we're thinking about. And then, so maybe then they can participate in a limited way, in a particular way in this process, because they have some sort of utility function. It's just not a complete utility function. The challenge there is that people introspecting and assigning promisingness points to different cause areas will not end up being a purely moral choice, because if someone, for example, doesn't think focusing on AI risk is promising, there are a number of reasons they could believe that, that are sort of hard to disentangle sometimes. So they could maybe not value the long-term future as much, maybe they would have some sort of time discount, or they could simply think that AI risk is a weird cause area, and they have heuristics that have trained them to believe that historically those kinds of things don't work out well, or they could have a specific model that says that it's not as big or as important a problem as many people think, right? And so then the moral uncertainty procedure is not really designed to handle a tangle of moral and epistemic and empirical beliefs. And I'm like sort of dissatisfied with all of these solutions, and I'm like probably going to try thinking a little bit more deeply about how to incorporate these like messy uncertainties into the cleaner framework. So the second thing that I wanted to talk about is normalization procedures and variance normalization in particular. So now we get into a little bit like some particular proposals for how to handle moral uncertainty in the literature. So the moral uncertainty problem is hardest when you have two moral theories that are incommensurate. So basically incommensurate means they don't measure good in the same units. So if you imagine someone who's uncertain about whether to value animals, and let's say they're 50% that between a moral theory that places zero weight on animals and a moral theory that places significant weight on animals. There are two ways that they could have this uncertainty. Both of those theories could value humans exactly the same. So the second theory just has a lot more possible value in the world, because in addition to valuing humans, it also values this larger class of beings. So in that case, those theories are sort of commensurate. You can sort of line them up on the same scale. And if you can argue for a way to line them up on the same scale, then it becomes really compelling to just do normal expected value. So if someone is uncertain between a theory that disvalues animals and a theory that values animals highly, then it's plausible that the thing they should do there is simply multiply whatever value the second theory says animals have by 50% to account for their uncertainty, and then act using expected value. However, you might have this intuition that maybe that uncertainty is like a deeper uncertainty, and you're sort of like, the theories aren't on the same scale. Like maybe the theory that values humans is from sort of a justice or contract-based moral system, and the theory that values animals is from a more utilitarian tradition, and like we don't know how to compare those things. And so then that would be an incommensurate case. So another example of like what I think would be classically incommensurate is like total utilitarianism and average utilitarianism. So we don't know like how to put those numbers on the same scale. So if we have two theories that seem incommensurate, then it becomes a lot more challenging how to combine them into a common decision rule. So one option is just to budget the money by credence. So if you have 70% probability to total utilitarianism and 30% probability in average utilitarianism, you just give a proportionate amount of the money to each theory, and they sort of optimize for their interests on their own. But there are some issues with just budgeting by credence, even though it's the simplest and easiest thing to do. One is that it seems kind of weird to have a theory that has really good opportunities to do a lot of good on its own terms to get a lot less money than a theory that kind of doesn't care about having the money. So there's something where we want to say, like, If I'm egalitarian and you're utilitarian, I would make a deal with you that I get a lot of the money in worlds where I can do a lot of egalitarian good. There's a lot of inequality and it's really urgent and I want to address it. And in exchange, I'll give you a lot of money in worlds where there's a lot of opportunity to create happiness. So budget by credence doesn't let us do that. So there's a desire for something more. And one way we could try to capture that is to use a normalization procedure to force them onto the same scale and then allow for deals like that to be made. So one normalization procedure is essentially variance normalization, which is normalizing by standard deviations from the mean. And there are arguments that this is sort of the most satisfying way we've found so far to do normalization for this purpose. So we have this criterion that we want the procedure we use to be fair in a certain sense, which is essentially that if you have the same credence in two different theories, those theories should get equal say. They should have equal voting power, like equal ability to tip the decision. So if you're 30% on theory one and 30% on theory two shouldn't have a lot more power or influence over your decision. Like they should have equal power and influence. So with that criterion, there is a proof that if you want to choose from a certain class of normalization procedures, we would want to normalize in terms of standard deviations from the mean. However, this runs into another problem, which is that in order for utility functions to have means and standard deviations, we need some sort of probability distribution. Like we need to use some sort of probability distribution that generates those means and standard deviations. So what are some like practical human computable methodologies to generate this prior distribution? One option we thought of was to just go back over our past grants in different cause areas and estimate how cost-effective we thought they were and generate a prior distribution that way. Another option we thought of was to go through different periods in history and try to estimate how much good each moral view could have done on its own terms in that period in history. So like maybe someone who values equality intrinsically would want to go back in time and like help out the abolitionist movement of the 1800s. Or maybe someone who wanted to advance science would have wanted to go back in time and speed up the scientific revolution. Maybe someone who really wants to help a lot of animals would want to live around now. And like this is the period in history where their moral view has the most opportunity. So this is another option for generating some sort of probability distribution we could use to get a mean and standard deviation. Another option is to try and survey people who haven't thought in detail about cause prioritization and ask them to estimate how they believe, how cost-effective they believe it would be to like try to achieve different kinds of good and sort of treat that as like a what we would have believed before we looked into it type of prior. And so like all of these are like options for practically approximating the prior. They're all dissatisfying in many ways. And so after that, I think there's a really important subsequent piece to the cause prioritization project besides just the moral uncertainty part. Because everything we discussed so far answers the question, how much money should each metric of goodness get? So maybe after we do this whole procedure, we figure out how to practically cash all of this out. We would have an answer that's something like 50% of the money goes to like maximizing time-discounted human qualities or something. And 50% of the money goes to minimize X risk So maybe we end there. But this doesn't actually answer the question of how much money should each of our program areas get? Like, how much money should AI risk get? How much money should global poverty get? How much money should biosecurity get? Because each of our program areas has some impact on all of these metrics, right? So for example, should the time-discounted human qualities metric fund biosecurity and pandemic preparedness? Like, I think it's unclear, right? If we reduce the risk of a pandemic which kills a billion people by 1%, that's 100 million lives saved, and that could be really cost-effective under this metric. So there's sort of further research to be made. So we have like budgets given to metrics, and each of the metrics has their own distribution of things they wish we'd fund, and some of them want to fund the same thing for different reasons. Sorry, that was cut off at the bottom there. Oh my gosh. Okay. that didn't work. So this is the overall picture of just sort of like how the information will flow at the end of this project. So maybe we have a bunch of moral theories. Some of them take the form of utility functions. Some of them are sort of more deontological, like rules they don't want you to break. Some of them are just a bunch of heuristics that might have some empirical or epistemic uncertainty mixed in. We have to find a way to sort of practically quantify the ones that are not already in the form of a utility function. And then once we have everything in sort of a practically quantified form, we then have to ask, like, are these views commensurable? Like, can we sort of line them up and put them on the same scale and do uncertainty with normal expected value? And for the chunk of it that is commensurable, we would do normal expected value. And for the chunk of it that's not commensurable, we would try to find some practical way to either do budget by credence or some other like veil of ignorance variance normalization procedure. And we'd combine the results of those two things into budgets, two goodness metrics. And we would combine those budgets with estimates of how returns diminish over time in different cause areas according to different metrics, and like get budgets for program areas out of that. And so that's a sort of like flow of the whole cause prioritization picture. And we're currently working on the normative uncertainty piece, and we'll move on later to more of the empirical piece. And I'm just gonna leave that up there, I guess, for Q&A. That might be the best slide to end on.
Hi, yeah, if you want to keep submitting questions at london.eaglobal.org/polls, that would be great. Thanks very much, Ajaya. So first question, that's all very interesting but quite abstract. Would it be possible to maybe talk through a real-life example of applying this sort of framework that you might do at OpenFull?
A particular example including specific cause areas or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a little bit, unfortunately, it's a little bit tough to do because I chose a topic where I don't really have the answers to how to make things totally concrete and just sort of wanted to share some of the things that I was sort of working through. But if I were to try, I actually think it might be easier for whoever's interested or whoever asked that question to talk to me after. I have office hours right after. I just think it might be very long and don't want to not answer other questions.
Sure. Okay. I'm confused. Oh, yeah, I'm confused why it makes sense to say each standard of goodness should get X percent of the money before having evaluated the expected empirical results of available options.
Yeah. So the purpose of the normative uncertainty piece is to try and like put an abstraction barrier between the moral uncertainty part and the empirical evaluation part. So like, I think it might be easier with a little bit of a sort of like non-standard EA metrics. So if you are deciding between qualies and units of justice, right? And you have some way to measure justice, then there are like two different pieces to what you want to do, right? Like there's, here are a bunch of actions you could take. How many qualies would each action generate? How much justice would each action generate? And then there's, how do we compare between these seemingly incomparable things, qualies and justice? And so the second piece, how do we compare between qualies and justice, is what the normative uncertainty part of the project is trying to answer. So now there's still a question after that of the, like, should you take into account empirical facts, like maybe the justice worldview has much more exciting opportunities than the qualies worldview, or maybe the qualies worldview has much more exciting opportunities than the justice worldview. It kind of seems like the views that care more about the general situation of the world should get more money, and that's sort of what the variance normalization piece is trying to answer. So it's trying to say, like, you should get some extra money if we would have thought that, if it seems like we're in a world where you have a lot of opportunity relative to the prior. And if it seems like you're in a world where, like, people are already sort of doing all the things you like, and your opportunities aren't very good compared to what we would have expected anyway, like, you shouldn't get as much money. So, like, that chunk of it might be answering, like, the question the person had about, like, shouldn't there be some thinking about empirics in the normative uncertainty part? And the idea is that there is, but it's sort of crude, and then there's a more refined, like, very specific type of thinking that happens afterward in the empirical piece.
Great. So how do you factor in how to measure outcomes into prioritization to ensure that you aren't underweighting innovation?
Yeah, so that is one of the challenges of, clicker is back there, but I think this is where we're trying to incorporate these sort of heuristic bundles. So, like, we're not just trying to assess things like comparing the importance of qualies to animal qualies to X risk points. We're also trying to figure out a way to, like, have views that say things like advancing innovation in science is good, or generally creating, like, a fairer society is good in some way into the process, and we're not totally sure, like, how to cash that out there. Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between a deontological theory and a heuristic bundle?
Huh?
What's the difference between a deontological theory and a heuristic bundle?
Okay, so in the picture up there, a deontological theory might be a theory that says, I don't really care what you do in general, but you're not allowed to lie. And so if you were to cash it out into a utility function, it would be something that places a zero value on most states and actions, and places a really strong negative value on, like, situations where you lie. A heuristic bundle is something a lot fuzzier. It's something like, I sort of have the feeling that it's generally good to do things that like advance progress. I generally have the feeling that, like, GDP growth is good. I don't think it's intrinsically good, but I kind of want to pursue it, and I'm sort of distrusting of like a really clean philosophical framework. And so, like, those are a little bit more challenging to quantify, and I would say that's sort of the difference between those two things. And I agree that it's like sort of a messy distinction, because some of what might be driving the desires of like a bundle of heuristics or a way of looking at the world might be some sort of like deontological instincts. But in general, the idea is that a heuristic bundle is not a theory. It's maybe a set of like action guiding heuristics that have been valuable in the past, or maybe it's a set of qualms you have about a particular theory or something like that.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Ajaya, for sharing with us now. We have a break until 5:30, where we'll have Will's closing talk, but firstly, can you join me in thanking Ajaya for her time?